This is what I remember. Because of God, it's not worse than it is. They could be worse. We could be completely swallowed up in this thing. Our lives could be completely over. But I understand that because of the Lord's mercies, that we're not consumed. And what we understand is because His compassions fail not. No matter how bad, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter sometimes in life how unfair it seems or whatever, we understand that God's mercies, they fail not.
You say I belong to You. Apart from the things I do, You say I belong to You. I'm in awe of why You do, why You do, why You do. I'm in awe of You.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Proverbs chapter 29. This Christian life is full of trials. It's full of testings. On one side, we have a devil that wants to ruin our lives. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to rob us of the blessings that God has. And he's so hateful, he's so mean-spirited, that if God were to take restraints off of him in our lives, we see clearly what the devil would do, as he did in Job's life. And he took all of his kids, he took all of his finances, and left his wife. He could have taken Job's wife, but he didn't. Anyway, we can have a theological debate about that, why he left Job's wife. But anyway, you know, it's very, very difficult to go through hard things yourself as a man, but to see your wife suffer through that too just adds to the hurt when you see that. So we see what the devil would do. On top of the difficulties that God will allow us to suffer through as our faith is tested and as we're tried out as individuals, and those are things that God would allow, then we also go through and we experience testings and trials that God would put us through to grow us in our faith. In the process also, we go through reproaches. We go through difficult times. Many of the difficulties that we go through in life are a result of our own bad decisions that God allows to come back upon us. And I would say the vast majority of my problems in life that I have and painful things haven't been as a result necessarily of Satan, that God allowing Satan to have free reign in my life, because I don't think that he has allowed that, because I think if Satan would have had full reign in my life, he would have done to my family what he did to Job. And I'm thankful that God has given me a level of protection, and I believe a great degree of protection all the way to this point in my life. I thank God for that and praise Him for that. And so I don't think that it's the devil allowed to wreak havoc in my life, but I do know that many of the problems I go through and hurts that I've experienced are a result of my own personal bad decisions that I have made, and then God will reprove me as a good father would. The New Testament says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Although it's that's easier said than done, because remember when you were a kid and your parents said, this hurts me more than it hurts you? And it's like, I don't think so. And even as a Christian, when God reproves us, when we are bad, often reproved, when we're often reproved, and we feel the hand of God's reproof on our lives, it's very difficult to, if you're not staying right with the Lord and staying close, to come out of that thing without a stiff neck. You know, one caution that the Scriptures gives us regarding fathers and their discipline with their children is that they're not to be overly harsh with them, Why? Because it could make them, you know, mad, bitter. You could provoke your children. And there's a danger as a parent, as a dad, and the Bible never approves of beating our children. It does approve of a biblical discipline, but even in the administration of that discipline, the danger is if you're too hard, you break the will. That's not the goal. If you're too hard, a rebellious child will harden their neck and will lock down further into, and you'll discourage them from being what they should be if you're too hard on them. Now, I think that God knows where the line is, that he is going to discourage us by his reproof, but he also understands the fact that if we just get by with breaking his commands and his laws without some repercussions, that's not good for us. And this is why the chastening of the Lord, it brings about the peaceable fruit, the Bible says, of righteousness. It brings about holiness in our life. It brings about hey, God's reproving me on this thing, and I need to get rid of that. The other side of that is if we don't receive that instruction, that rebuke, that reproof well, the tendency is that we harden our neck. It's a sign of locking in a position where you're not receiving the instruction. And this is what Proverbs chapter number 29 is speaking about when it speaks about our reproof. Verse number 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, or he hardens his neck. The problem is when you do that, shall suddenly be destroyed. Shall suddenly be destroyed. When you don't handle reproof well, that can be from our parents, when our parents try to get us to live a right life. It can be from an authority figure when they try to reprove us and to avoid future danger. That when you lock down, you harden your neck underneath of that reproof, then a sudden destruction comes and a situation where it will be so sure and so bad that it will be without remedy. So the admonition from the Lord is despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, because if you don't receive that well, then you lock down, then destruction will come for sure in your life. So much so it'll be without remedy. There's no fixing that. I sat recently and begged a young man, now that he's turned his heart over to Jesus Christ, you have to follow God. If you continue on the path you're going on, you're going to ruin your own life. And I said, you choose. It's your choice. You know, what are you going to do? It's your choice to harden. The book of Lamentations, for just a moment, chapter 3. Lamentations is a sad book. It's a book about when God brought judgment upon the nation of Israel and the misery that they were going through as a people. Now, when the nation of Israel was going through their lamenting or their great sorrow and their lamentation, they had a choice about what they were going to do. And Jeremiah writes about how to appropriately, how to properly deal with when God is bringing judgment upon us or reproof upon us for our sins. Now, the danger is, he who being often reproved hardeneth his neck, he shall be destroyed and without remedy. Lamentations chapter number 3, here's the words of the prophet and the Lord working through him. And he says, chapter number 3, verse number 20. My soul has then in remembrance. When verse 19, when he's remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Those are all words describing a horrible physical state, and not just physical, but in some sense a spiritual state that they were in as a result of the judgment hand of God upon the nation of Israel. He's like, you know, when I remember the affliction, the terrible times, I remember the wormwood, I remember the misery, I remember my misery. I remember my misery. Not just misery of somebody else. You want to know where it really hits? When it hits home. He's like, I know my misery. I know my wormwood. I know the gall. The bitter, hard. Verse number 20. My soul has them in remembrance, and it is and is humbled. My soul is humbled in me. Now see, that's the opposite of hardening your neck under the reproof of God. Is the humility. A reproof of God will bring about a humility which will bring about godly repentance and then a restoration, or it will bring, if you don't handle it right, a hardening of your neck, which will bring about destruction, and it will be without remedy. And this is why we as believers, when we're going through hard times, we can look around and we go, life's not fair, that's not right, these things are not right, things are very difficult, and sometimes it's just difficulties that have come along, maybe other people have made bad decisions, but ultimately, when it lands home, and sometimes we know this is from my own bad decisions, there's a choice to make, humility or hardness. And Jeremiah chose humility. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What in the misery of your gall, your misery, your wormwood, in the middle of your affliction? He's like, I remember this, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. This is what I remember. Because of God, it's not worse than it is. It could be worse. We could be completely swallowed up in this thing. Our lives could be completely over. But I understand that because of the Lord's mercies, that we're not consumed. And what we understand is because his compassions fail not. No matter how bad, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter sometimes in life how unfair it seems or whatever, we understand that God's mercies, fail not. His compassions fail not. His mercies keeps us from being totally consumed. And his compassions, his mercies, they are new every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What do you do, Jeremiah, when things are bad, when everything's falling apart around your life and in your life and in the city and in the nation of Israel? What do you do? You're like, I have hope. Because I know that because of God, it's not worse than it is. If it wasn't for God, we would be completely consumed in this thing. But I know God's compassions and his mercies fail not. And every morning, they are new. You may not see them. You may not recognize them. You may not even acknowledge them. Especially if you're hard-hearted or you get bitter in life about things that happen to you. But the truth is, they're there. And though everything else may fall apart around us and we may lose almost everything we have, for the believer, the Lord is my portion. And when we have the Lord, that is enough. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait, the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's good. What's good? It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. God, this doesn't feel like it's good for me. He sitteth alone and he keeps silence because he has borne it upon him. He puts his mouth in the dust, if so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. Wow. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man for the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not. So this is righteous. Everything I go through as a follower of Jesus Christ is either a right or righteous judgment of God on me for my error, or it is a right decision that God made to help me develop as a believer. Now listen. And here's one of the important parts. Here's one of the keys. See, because when we really harden ourselves is when we go, this is not right. But to subvert a man in his cause, God approves not. And one of the most humbling, difficult to embrace, accept at times, things for us to do as followers of God is to admit how hard this thing is still right. That somehow this mess is good for me. And that under the reproof, sometimes even under the rebuke of God, that instead of hardening our neck to resist the work that God's trying to do, rather that we humble ourselves under that reproof of God, and we embrace the fact that God's mercies fail not, He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that His compassions and mercies are new every morning, that God always makes a righteous judgment in how He handles everything, and that I'm not in this situation I'm in because God did wrong, but I am here because God always does right. And in that spot, verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceeds not evil and good. Wherefore, for what reason, and for which reason, does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. When God was reproving Job, He made a few errors. One of His major errors that He made was to show Himself to be right or righteous. He had to accuse God of being wrong. And God said to Job, "Will you condemn me that you may be righteous?" So you're going to act like I'm in the wrong so that you can present to other people that you're the one that's in the right. And I just want to tell you, God was very mad at Job about that issue. And see, this is a danger, is when we say, this is not right, what's going on in my life. I don't deserve this. And what we do is we turn it around on God, and what we're saying is, and in the words of Job, "Oh, that my enemy had written a book." And when was it in the world that God, the one that loved Job and took so good a care of him all those years, became Job's enemy? Well, you might say, well, he wasn't. Yeah, well, then why did Job consider that God was his enemy? See, and to make ourselves out to be righteous, we many times in life have to condemn the one who is actually in the right. And in that place, we stand on very dangerous ground. Because when we harden our necks, he who often being reproved hardens his neck shall come in sudden destruction, shall come upon him, and it will be without remedy. But the truth is if we humble ourselves under the discipline of God and the judgment of God in our lives, then we let us search our ways. And what have I done that I didn't think it was so bad, but God thought I deserved this punishment for? What have I done? And humility in the face of judgment rather than hardness. That's a dangerous point. Now back to Proverbs chapter number 27. All right, turn there. Turn back, and we need very quickly to address this issue. One danger for believers is to harden their necks underneath of the often reproof of the Lord, who is just trying to work about the peaceable fruits of righteousness. He's just trying to do what's best for us. And even when he allows bad things to happen that don't seem just in the world, somehow God's going to take that thing and he's going to turn that around for your good and for his honor and glory. Now, another dangerous thing, and this is what we kind of springboard off of the adult discipleship or Sunday school class, chapter 27, verse number 21. One danger is that we often, being often reproved, that we harden our neck. Here's danger number two. Proverbs 27:21 goes like this. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. What do they do? What's a fining pot or a refining pot do for purified silver? What does fire do to gold? It purifies gold. It works out the negatives. It proves it out. So is the man to his praise. As the fighting pot to silver, get this picture in your head, and the furnace to gold for gold, so is a man to his praise. Just like trials on the negative side and the reproof of God will prove where we are in our hearts, so on the opposite side, there are dangers that will prove where we are personally too. One danger is prosperity. It's a blessing of God, and yet if we don't handle prosperity well, and we forget about God and our prosperity, then we end up in a worse situation than if we would never have prospered, in a sense, in the first place. And prosperity is a danger. Here's another one. When people praise us. You want to talk about a test that will see where in the world we are as human beings is when somebody and people praise us for something. Now, we look back, and we got some history with this thing. We got Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked around, and he said, you know, look at everything that I've built. I built that, and look at all that my hands have made. And God immediately dropped the hammer on that guy and pronounced a judgment upon his life and said, in this many years, you're going to be crawling in the grass like a cow, and you're going to have, your nails are going to be out like eagle's claws, and your hair, and you're going to be crawling around like a crazy man. When? When he robbed praise that belonged to God. Now see, the old test is, what will a man do in adversity? And then what will a man or woman do in prosperity and when they're praised? Now, this is a test. And it's a test that is just as sure as if you put silver in a finery. It's a test that's just as sure as if you throw gold into a fire. This will prove out where we are as human beings. Are we proud? Because if you people start praising us and telling us how great we are, if we've got an ounce of pride lurking in us, then we're just about to puff up like a big old toad, and it will come out. When they praise us at work, instead of glorifying God, when we sing a song here at the church, when we teach a good lesson and a good preaching message, when we teach a good Sunday school lesson in the back, when you get that award at college or you get that award at school, or when they slap your picture in the local paper, how do you respond when you are praised? Do we glorify God? Do we embrace the praise? I know most of you guys are thinking, some of you may be off somewhere else thinking about something else, but most of you right now are thinking about this. The last time that I was praised for something, how did I respond to that? Now, people whose hearts aren't right with God, sometimes they become very, very difficult to deal with. We've even had discussions here at this church, you know, behind the scenes. It's like we've been clapping for people singing for a lot of years. A lot of churches don't clap. Is it right to clap? Is it not right to clap? But I tell you, when it's messed up, it's when people clap for us. And it goes to our head. And when our preaching, when our teaching, when our singing becomes about us, then what in the world are we doing here? And see, one of the greatest tests of a human being that is sure to reveal where our heart is when we do well at something and somebody praises us extremely. And if we lose our mind in self-adulation, we have just discovered where we are. But if we're humble and we turn the praise back to God, and those praises drive us when we realize our own still insufficiency, and it drives us into a desire for more excellence to actually please the Lord, not to please ourselves, then it will go well. It's a test. Just like when you lost all that stuff, and just like when you went through all these things, and just like when all that adversity tested your faith and tried to see if you were going to say, God's messed up and he's done me wrong. It's a test. It's a test. Listen, it is a test. You might say, it feels like a horrible test. I've taken some miserable tests at school. Who likes testing? But it does say something about us, doesn't it? When you just got that promotion at work and you just became the boss of that new section, did that promotion go to your head?
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of what you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I want to live. From the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you.
And there his body lay.
But on the third day,
the tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away.
All evidence of death was gone the day my Lord was raised. For behind the stone was nothing more than the grave clothes folded where he lay. Death, hell, and the grave were defeated on that resurrection day. And with power and great glory,
he's still alive today.
That old devil was rejoicing the day my Lord was crucified. All hell was a-praising the moment Jesus died. I would have loved to see old Satan's face when he heard the news that day. Jesus is not here, he is risen, for he's alive today.
All the evidence of death was gone the day my Lord was raised. For behind the stone was nothing more than the grave clothes folded where he lay. Death, hell, and the
grave were defeated on that resurrection day, and with power and great glory,
he's still alive today.
All evidence of death was gone the day my Lord was raised. For behind the stone was a nothing more than the grave clothes folded where he lay. Death, hell, and the grave were defeated on that resurrection.